We continue with Slapshot Radio, and we are joined by Larry Quinn, the former president and part owner of the Buffalo Sabres, who was talking with Pierre LeBrun of ESPN and TSN last week. And Larry, let's just, if you could, get right down to it. You think there's a deal to be made here, as many of us do, but what seemed to have shocked you the most was the potential of all the money involved here perhaps going down the drain.
Yeah, I just find it astounding. And I, you know, the more I read and look at the comments that are being made, I think that there's, you know, rather than negotiation, it seems to me that there's been a massive disinformation campaign. I mean, most of the comments I read from players, and I take players at face value. I think they're, you know, good guys and sincere. I don't, you know, I've never hardly met one that wasn't an honest, straightforward guy. And they all believe that their contracts are being negated and their salaries are being rolled back. And you know, it just isn't true. And I find myself sort of flabbergasted as to how this can happen, unless it's done intentionally. And it's done intentionally, it makes you wonder why. But it's a sad situation.
Larry, if you could, give us an idea of what it looks like from, you know, from the owner's perspective, because obviously all the current owners are, you know, kind of on lockdown. They know not to say anything because they'll get fined. But right. What does the information process look like behind the scenes? Because you've been part of this previously. I'm, you know, fortunately not part of it now. But what does it look like behind the scenes?
Well, behind the scenes, you're kept very well informed. Gary's a very good communicator within his group, as I understand Al Ferris as well. So you're very aware of what the league is proposing and saying. What I think you find yourself in is not sure at all what message is being given to the other side, and not being sure at all what's being comprehended. And I found from the last lockout there'd be a lot of views that simply weren't being portrayed very well to the other side. I remember sitting down with a few guys and saying, well, we can't have a cap system because you guys will cook the books. And, you know, and I said, well, what in the world would make you think that? And then they'd give you all kinds of stories that were being promulgated by various people from the PA side. It just, for, you know, it's just ludicrous, you know, and those same players, and many of them who are retired and who are friends today, you know, we actually recently saw them, and I said, guys, what do you think? And they both just go, oh my God. I said, if I knew then what I know now, this, you know, it would have been a very different situation. You know, I was asked by Pierre to give my comments, and you know, I think you guys know I haven't said a thing about the National Hockey League since I left, but in this particular case, I just felt very strongly that these young people are forfeiting a tremendous amount of not only money, but the prime of their careers for no good reason. You know, it would be different if there was a battle to be fought about something of substance, but I simply don't see it here.
Larry Quinn is former president, managing partner, minority owner of the Buffalo Sabres, joining us here on Slapshot Radio. And among the things that you said, Larry, in spite of all of this, salaries in the NHL have always gone up.
Always. I remember when we did Patty LaFontaine's deal in 1994, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was a $16 million deal, and it just seemed like a staggering amount of money. And, you know, we're all worried about it. How can we afford this? In fact, the Sabres at the time couldn't, but that's another story. And I remember John Muckler saying, you know, it seems like a lot of money now, and a few years from now, it's not going to seem like a lot. And I just thought at the time, like, John's just full of blowing. I mean, how could $4 million a year seem like a small amount of money? And today it's, you know, it's what a pretty good player in the NHL makes. And at the time, Patty was at the top of the league. So it just, they go up. And in this system, they automatically will go up if you believe that the revenues of the league will go up. You know, I made the comment that if people really got together and tried to grow this game, because I think it's a great game, I think we've got the best athletes in the world, and I don't think it's unrealistic to think that this can grow to a $5 billion business at all. And 50% of $5 billion represents another 30% raise for the players. So I just think the focus is completely wrong. I think if people are interested in making money and having great careers, this is not the way to do it. And I'm very disappointed with the just, it seems like a very sophisticated and massive disinformation campaign. I mean, when I see player after player after player comment that the owners are trying to negate their contracts, it's like, where is that coming from? Or the league is trying to roll back their salaries. There's not a rollback provision on the table, and yet, you know, guys. So it's like my mother used to say about the Irish. You know, they don't know what they want out of life, but they're willing to fight for it. And I think this is one of those situations where people are fighting about an issue that isn't even an issue.
Well, as an Irishman, I certainly heard the exact same thing. So so Larry, you know, go ahead and you know, I have a habit of doing this on this show. I'm going to confer upon you all hockey power possible. How do you fix this?
Well, it's a tough one to fix because of the communication problem. I would not have condoned what Gary did, where he simply said no and walked away. I understand his frustration because those three proposals were basically the same, just triggered, just posed different ways. You know, I mean, they all still didn't give back anything. But if I could decree on what I would do, I would probably get rid of the make whole provision that the league proposed. And it sounds as though Gary's willing to do that as well, because he did say to Fair, you know, if everything else is agreeable, come back and talk to me. I would have been probably a little tougher than the league has been. I would have put a limit on the individual salary cap, the 20% of total, because I think that it really hurts the vast majority of hockey players. You know, and it just the same way that when the revenue is concentrated in six or seven teams in the league, well, when the revenue is concentrated in 20 players, it has the same effect. And I would have limited that. As far as anything else different than what the league proposed, you know, maybe you phase it in over a couple of years and do a 10-year deal. You know, maybe you create a couple of year grace period just to ease some of the pain. I would have maybe eased in a more restriction on the individual player cap to quite frankly create more money for the regular, the average Joe who's in the league to make a little bit more. How do you settle this thing? I think players have to stand up and demand that these guys lock themselves in a room and make agreement. I think that to constantly cause fear and worry, and all they're doing is costing themselves money and really harming the sport. The owners will survive, and the game will survive. I mean, that's the one thing that I absolutely believe. The only other thing I would think about doing as part of this, but they never will, is that is some kind of a cap on ticket prices. I think, you know, one of the things for people that's not represented in this equation is the fan. And you know, in Buffalo, after the last lockout, we took the benefits that we got, the 25% rollback, and rolled back our season ticket prices 25%. Now, with the pressure to constantly keep a pace of league revenues, or you lose your revenue sharing, those prices have risen here. But we had a tremendous benefit to that. Not only did we make more money, we had more fans in the building, fans benefited. So I guess if there was some way to do it, I'd like to put something into the fan, but I don't know how you do that.
Larry Quinn is joining us, talking about doing something for the fans. We're discussing this current situation in the National Hockey League. Larry, you had been involved a number of years ago in something that almost brought, I thought, a NASCAR sort of approach to the NHL, and that was headsets that the fans could tune in on and get another aspect of the game. What became of that?
It was in that sort of dot-com bubble, and what happened is a lot of investor money dried up and everybody wanted websites. This was a hardware approach. It was ahead of its time. It ended up being the iPod. Now, Apple doesn't have that feature in it yet, but we were in essence an MP3 player and a digital receiver. So it ended up as the iPod. So we were a little ahead of our time. It didn't work. But, you know, I think sort of getting to the heart of the fan experience, I do believe too, and I said this to Pierre, that I think the game needs to become a more offensive game. You know, I'll tell you a little story about Buffalo. We when we bought the team here, it was in bankruptcy. We had about 5,000 season ticket holders. We were last in the league in national merchandise sales, and our television ratings weren't very good for a market that doesn't have a lot of competition. You know, and 5 years later, we were the number one merchandise. I mean, Little Buffalo was out selling Toronto and Montreal and New York and even Nashville and through NHL Enterprises. We had a full building, 16,000 season ticket holders, on and on and on. Why? Because we had a tremendously exciting offensive team. You know, we led the league in scoring. We could come from behind, be two goals down, and come from behind and win a game. And it was just an incredibly exciting experience for the fan. And I'd like to see that on a national level. I'd like to really see an intensive effort as to how do we, you know, convert hockey from essentially a defensive game, which it's become today, a trap game, to a game that really rewards talent and offense. Now, that's a tall order. But I think if you could do that, you would really build a sport. When I was years ago, I asked one of the NFL colleagues, how did you guys do it? How do you function where you made the quarterback supreme? You really featured the running back. Because it always wasn't always that way. Pete, as you recall, prior to the AFL, NFL games were 16-9 or whatever they were. And he said, well, it was very simple. He said, there was a guy named Rune Arledge who called a guy named Pete Rozelle, and he said, I have this idea for Monday Night Football, but I can only sell it if you feature running backs and quarterbacks and wide receivers. If you make a commitment to make that your game, I can make you lots of money. Well, we know what's happened. I think if the NHL followed the same formula and made it possible for these incredible players. I mean, the guys have the talent today that just would exceed anything we can think of in the past. And I always say to people became hockey fans because of Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr and Jean Beliveau and Gilbert Perreault the like. They didn't become hockey fans because some guy was trap them at center ice. That's not made them a fan. So I would like to see, and it's not happening at all, at least not in the negotiating table. I know Coley Campbell and others are working on it, but it's to really see a rethinking of the game that comes out of this labor negotiation, because as we all know, that every time you try to make a change in the current system, it's usually blocked by the union. So the system is very resistant to change and evolution. And I think that's one of the key issues that really has to come out of this. And unfortunately, it doesn't even seem to be on the table yet because of all this other stuff.
Well, Larry, we are up against a break. I do thank you so much for taking the time, giving us a unique perspective on the negotiations going on by looking at what happened in the past. He's the former president, part owner of the Buffalo Sabres, Larry Quinn. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.